Well, if you will repeat after me, Lord Jesus, my eyes see,
my ears hear,
and my heart is perceiving.
You're having a chat
with me.
Hallelujah.
So I'm going to take you back to the Amplified Bible tonight, because that was very strong instructions to go to the Amplified. And I heard loud and clear Ezekiel 14. So I didn't know what Ezekiel 14 was all about, but I'm going to obey to the best of my ability to awaken in you what he's trying to give us as accountable instructions. Now, they're not legal instructions to the body of Christ from many points of view, but I can tell you, you can learn the instructions that Ezekiel was given, because things today are still the same God, same Holy Ghost, same Son. However, we have the blood. So obviously you're not going to be seeing in chapter 14 the, let's say, use of the blood, but you have that access. So keep that in mind if you start going into a guilt pattern, because whenever I read the legal aspect of different things in the Old Testament, the Lord reminded me again today, remember, you're under my new covenant. But these guidelines are still true. Okay? I also received this same word June 26, 2012, so it's nothing new. But the scripture that I perceive he was trying to give me understanding was that some people come with a motive that is not of God, and he knows how to deal with it. Have you ever tried to help the Lord out? Yeah. Okay. And in verse 1, then came certain of the elders of Israel to me and sat before me, and the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and put stumbling blocks in their iniquity of their, stumbling blocks of their iniquity and guilt before their faces. Should I permit myself to be inquired of at all by them? So look at the judge here. All right. Therefore speak to them and say to them, thus say the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel who takes his idols, and the amplification says, of self-will. Now, most Christians don't think about idolatry when they're doing their own thing. But God has a different opinion, doesn't he? All right. Who takes his idols, with an S, of self-will, unsubmissiveness into his heart, and puts the stumbling blocks of his iniquity, idols of silver and gold, before his face, and yet comes to the prophet to inquire of him, I, the Lord, will answer him according to the multitude of his idols. Say ouch.
Ouch. Ouch.
See, when our idolatry before God is not a statue or a post, It's a lot of stuff that we have inside that we may carry and think it's normal. But it's not normal. He's trying to adjust us and trying to awaken us that there's a higher level. Verse 5. That I may lay hold of the house of Israel in the thoughts of their own minds and hearts, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Whoa. When I read this verse this morning, I said, oh my God, this has to be where the Holy Spirit is now pressing Paul to write the letter to the Corinthians and to the Ephesians. You see, Paul knew this word. You and I may have read it, but do we take hold that the house of Israel in the thoughts of their own minds and hearts are at an altar of idolatry? So they're estranged from God because they're in constant worship of other things. Verse 6. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, repent and turn away from your idols, and turn away from your faces from all your abominations. How are you going to do that? By grace? By favor from God? By getting out of your emotions? And as we spoke a little bit about the dog barking out of your emotion, maybe that dog is barking because he is an idol. And I've had him bark more than once. I don't want to give a count because I probably would give him very deep trouble. Verse 7. For anyone of the house of Israel or of the strangers who sojourn in Israel, who separates himself from me, taking his idols into his heart and putting the stumbling blocks of his iniquity and guilt before his face, and yet comes to the prophet to inquire for himself of me, I, the Lord, will answer him myself. That's the verse I want you to see. If you've got somebody that's pressing in, wanting a word from the Lord, and you have a mixed emotion on the inside, don't hesitate. Remind them that they have ears, they have eyes, and they hopefully have a Bible if they don't get them one. Because you see, those who are pressing in with the wrong heart, God will deal with them. Mm-hmm. And that's a lesson that most Christians don't want to look at. God's ability. Because he's prophesying through Ezekiel right here, I, the Lord, will answer him myself. You don't have to be involved. Now watch. And I will set my face against that false worshiper. False worshiper. Got it? And will make him a sign and a byword, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and you shall know, understand, and realize that I am the Lord. Does he need any help from your mouth? No. So there are times that some may come to you and you can say, you know what? You have your own Bible. You have a computer. You have a cell phone. Can you just maybe stretch a little and come out of whatever you're into and maybe start depending on God a little bit for yourself? Because you know what? God wants to talk to you. God wants to talk to you. He wants to get through to you. Verse 9, the prophet has not been granted permission to give an answer to the hypocritical inquirer.
But if the prophet does give the man the answer he desires, thus allowing himself to be a party to the inquirer's sin, I, the Lord, will see to it that the prophet is deceived in his answer. And I will stretch out my hand against him and will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel.
Get a clue. You don't feed somebody that hasn't got the right heart. Otherwise, you'll answer to the Lord yourself. There is mercy. But there's also a truth where you need to be able to say, yes, I have a word. And that word for you is to run to the same Jesus that I run to. And you need to be accountable for yourself. Yes, if I do get a word from you and the Lord for you, and the Lord gives it to me, and I know that it's correct and your heart is straightened out, not because you are coming as a false worshiper, but coming as an honest, unknowing saint, then you give that word because it'll be given out of mercy. Verse 10 is the area of seriousness. And they both shall bear the punishment of their iniquity. The iniquity of the presumptuous prophet shall be the same as the iniquity of the hypocritical inquirer. I know this may sound very harsh. But you know what? Our God sees the judge from the heart of each individual. Okay? And when he's looking at the heart of each individual, he's also going to tell you it's not time to open your mouth. If he's able to talk to them, he's able to talk to you. And whatever prophetic word you have, you are to be obedient to give if he tells you to give. But if he also tells you to restrain yourself, you don't want to fall in the category of judgment. You can cry out for mercy. You can cry out for clarity. Philippians 3:15 says God will make everything clear. Hear me now. Philippians 3:15 says God will make everything clear. But if he wants to talk to that person himself, then you better get out of the way. Verse 11, that the house of Israel may go no more astray from me, neither defile themselves any more with all their transgressions, but that they may be my people and I may be their God, says the Lord God. The word of the Lord came to me again, to me saying, son of man, when a land sins against me, by committing a trespass, and I stretch out my hand against it, and break its staff of bread, and send famine upon it, and cut off from it man and beast, even if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job. How do you like them apples there, young woman? Notice he's mentioned right here.
Yes.
All right? If these three men were in it, they would but save their own lives, but their righteous by their righteousness, their uprightness and right standing with me, says the Lord God. If I cause ferocious and evil wild animals to pass through the land, and they ravage and bereave it, and it becomes desolate so that no man may pass through because of the beast, though these three men were in it, as I live, says the Lord God, they would deliver neither sons nor daughters, but themselves alone would be delivered. But the land would be desolate, laid waste, and deserted. And you know, and I know, that Israel was deserted for 2,000 years. Or if I bring a sword upon the land, and they and say, sword, go through the land so that I cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men were in it, as I live, says the Lord God, they would deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they themselves alone would be delivered. Or if I send a pestilence into the land and pour out my wrath upon it in blood,
to cut off from it man and beast, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, says the Lord God, they would deliver neither son nor daughters. They would put their deliver their own lives by their righteousness, their religious and moral rectitude in every area and relation. For thus says the Lord God, how much more then when I send my four sore acts of judgment upon Jerusalem, the sword and the famine and the evil wild beasts and the pestilence, to cut off from it man and beast, Leviticus 16:26, and yet behold, in it shall be left a remnant, an escape portion, both sons and daughters. They shall be carried forth to you into confusion. In parentheses, it says in Babylon. And when you see their ungodly walk and their wicked doings, you will be consoled for the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem, even concerning all that I have brought upon it. And they shall console you when you see their evil, says their evil ways and their rebellious actions. Then you shall know, understand, and realize that I have not done without cause all that I have done in Jerusalem, says the Lord God. So he's prophesying the destruction. But my point today, from what I could best perceive, when he was pressing this in, as I read it several times, I looked at it, I asked the Lord for grace, and I said, Lord, have I ever did this? And he said, yes, you did. It's called false compassion. It's feeling sorry out of your soul instead of a direct word from the Lord. But there have been times when the Lord would tell me, and I can remember a particular individual who had come through the door. This is way back at Grace, when I was in the upstairs office, because I can still see myself. Person comes through the door for an appointment. I've got an hour set aside. The person comes in, and I put the tape recorder on, because I taped every session. And they went home with the tape. And the person began to say a few things, and I said, no, I don't want to listen, and I'm not listening. I said, but I will anoint you with oil first, and then we're going to obey the Lord instead of you. The person sat down, anointed them with oil, the anointing fell on me. And instructions came from every type of angle that you could conceive. And my mouth did not shut up for about 35 minutes. And when I was done, I gave the cassette and I said, now have a good day. I have no questions from you and no answers for you. You've already got the word of the Lord. Have a good day. You know why they were coming? The wrong heart. And it was a message of correction, with grace, adjustments in their judgments, because they had an extremely critical spirit, and they found fault with everybody, including themselves. And the Lord adjusted it. Now, it's happened, I can't tell you how many years or how many times in 20 years, but I can tell you this, I knew about this word because Gino warned me. And I'm warning you. Because that's my job. That word is not written just for Ezekiel or his people. It's written for you and me. Be cautious. Be compassionate. But be just in how you respond. And if they are seeking your help with the wrong heart, and you perceive it, and you open your mouth, he's going to ask you to answer for that. So this is not a word of criticalness. This is a word of caution. And to ask for wisdom. Don't be so quick
you know, sometimes to satisfy whatever their hunger is, because you don't know their hearts. And if you don't know, you also can say, I will pray and search the heart of the Lord. And if I have an answer, I will get back to you. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Now just close your eyes and say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
We want to be obedient. And we want to honor what you have given us.
And when you give us a word,
and the one who's seeking
has an idolatrous heart,
I am bound by your word,
to refrain.
And pull back if I have to.
But if their heart is pure,
I will give mercy and grace. But I need your help. And your grace to understand this.
And to confirm it to me.
Because you're asking me to be accountable.
And adults are supposed to be accountable.
And I am growing up. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. So.